And now for reading and writing and radio.
I had one of the worst days you could imagine. I invited all my friends to my birthday party. I had 5 different cakes, 10 different kinds of ice cream. I had games, prizes, hats, horns, punch, lemonade, milk, and even candy. I was all dressed up in my very best dress, and then nobody came. All my friends had the flu. Then all my presents came in the mail, and they were all the same. My mom said I would get my ears pierced, and the doctor's office was closed. Then I tried to go to sleep, and my baby sister kept me up all night. And the next day I was late for school and had to write 1,000 times, "I'll never be late for school again."
That terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day happened to Lindley Fletcher of Mrs. Wilson's 5th grade, Mason City, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
While back, we wrote on "O Frabjous Day," the very best day that you could remember, and we got in some really frabjous writing. Today's program, "The Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day," was suggested by Shirley Emerson, who teaches 4th grade at Verdon. But I found a letter after writing the manual, a thank you for my visiting North School, from Dayla Halliman of that very same class, and she said, "Let's have one on a terrible day." Also, Denise Barnett of Mrs. Mayles' 5th grade at Harvard Park Springfield said, "Let's write on the very baddest thing," and that's a similar idea. If any of the rest of you sent in the idea, I do apologize for not having your name. The title of our program is from the book Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day by Judith Viorst. And I'm not going to read you that book, it's a picture book, as I intended to at the start. And why not? Because I asked a few classrooms ahead of time to write on this topic so that we could use some readings from you on this program, and so much terrific, terrible, horrible stuff came in that I don't want to waste any time on Alexander. The papers came from Sue Wilson's 5th grade at Mason City and Rose Corgan's 5th grade, Ethel Kuntzman's 4th grade, and Shirley Emerson's 4th grade, all those classes at North School, Verdon. And they were really much better than the book. So I want to say right now, thank you, kids, and I wish that we could read every single one of your papers over the radio. First, I'm lucky to have Tim Veach here with me again today. You heard him on the opener. And Tim, maybe you could start things off by telling us if you've ever had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Well, I think everybody's had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Mine was last year, February the 1st. I remember it well. I was going to hockey practice, not mine, but my brother Toby's hockey practice. My dad had gone out of town, and he said right before we left, "Do not take Cokie Mill Road because it is snowed in." So we go to hockey practice, not taking Cokie Mill Road. We go to hockey practice successfully, and we go to Bernie and Betty's and pick up some pizza and started going back to, and Mom said, "Well, I'm sick of all this driving around through Springfield. We're going to take Cokie Mill Road."
So we
took Cokie Mill Road. We sure did, and we were driving along, and Mom thought, you know, all the snow was melted because it was the 1st of February and all the snow had been starting to melt, and we started driving down the road and it was fine, you know, for maybe a minute and a half, and then all of a sudden we launched our car into a snowbank that you could not even see over, and it was our little car, and we were sitting there
ended up in the snowbank.
Yes, tried to both pull out. We pushed and pulled, and that was the only night the whole winter that we did not bring our winter gear and all of our scarves and hats and coats. And so
what did you do next?
Well, so we got everything out of the car, and we got as bundled up as we could because it was really cold. And so we walked, and we walked, and we walked, and and it was out in the country, and it was, we just walked, and we walked for the nearest light, and the nearest light was about a mile and a half away, maybe 2 miles. And so we were walking, and Mom had the pizza in her hand, and I kept yelling at her to put the pizza down, put the pizza down. She wouldn't do it. And so we were walking on, and I saw a cluster of houses off in the distance. And I said, well, that's great. So we walked. About a half hour later, we get there. We found it was one huge house. It was belonged to Mr. and Mrs. Lanphier. And
I bet you were pretty well frozen by
then. Oh, yes.
Snow in your boots.
Yeah, I had my tennis shoes.
Oh, no boots either.
No boots. The only pair of boots were belonging to Mom, and we had to share those around. People would say my toes are getting numb, so we'd have to stop and switch
boots for everybody.
And the whole way we were climbing over snowdrifts, and people would, he was having awful times because they had ice caked over them. And if they hadn't, we would have been in real trouble because we just kind of slid along.
You would have sunk in, yeah. So then what happened when you got to the big Lanphier house?
We get there, and it was unreal. I mean, this house is just, it was fantastic. And we walk in, and they gave us something to drink, and we sat down and watched a little TV for like 5 minutes and called the tow truck and called these friends of ours that lived down the road and went home and sat there in the bed trying to keep warm. And then we put the pizza in the microwave and sat there eating the pizza. And now we laugh about it, you know. But then
awful. That's one of the interesting things about bad days. They're often fun to tell about afterwards, even though they aren't so much fun to tell about them or to live through them. This will give me a chance to play snatch out of a Gilbert and Sullivan record that we've played for you on an earlier program. The chorus of it, I love this song, and as you'll be able to hear, the man here, he doesn't like to have good days because then he doesn't have anything to grumble at, and so the more terrible the day, the better.
Oh, don't the day seem lank and long when all goes right and nothing goes wrong? And isn't your life extremely flat when you've nothing whatever to grumble at?
Don't the day seem lank and long when all goes right and nothing goes wrong? And isn't your life extremely flat when there's nothing whatever to grumble at?
Well, we do all right, Tim. We should go on the stage. let's hear some grumbling at, some stories and readings from our four helping classes. Here's from Mrs. Kunzman's fourth grade. Dale Hutchison had to go to the hospital with a broken leg, and he writes, I took off in my wheelchair, and I hit another wheelchair, and darn if he didn't break his leg again and had to go back into the hospital.
Oh.
And then Donnie Hutchison, who maybe is a brother, wrecked his bike and broke his arm. Doug Boulanzer broke his leg in a mini bike when the brakes went out, and Scott Whipple writes,
it was a very bad day. My reading teacher said that I read out loud when I'm reading to myself.
Scott Etter had three dunkings. I went fishing. When I got there, I fell in the water. When I got home, I got in trouble for being all wet. Then I went to the park and fell in the mud. When I got home, I got in trouble for being all muddy. Then I had supper and spilled my tea all over myself. I decided I might as well go to bed.
Probably I'd take a shower, too.
Right. Michelle Plowman tells a story with fine detail. It was winter. The roads were covered with snow. We had to go through the bean fields to the car. We got stuck. I wasn't planning on getting stuck, and we weren't wearing winter coats. It's like your story, Tim.
Yeah.
All we had with us was one old blanket, and I couldn't take it. Three of my friends got it. My other friend and I didn't have anything to cover up with. We had a mile to walk. Our fingers felt frozen, and we ran all the water that we had in the house on our fingers. My other friends were making fun of us, and we got mad at them. And then we had to go to bed early for not being polite. Let's see what horrors we have from Shirley Emerson's fourth grade. Here's one that ought to get lots of sympathy from Mike Hanna. See if you can read Mike's writing.
My worst day of my life was when I had to go to get braces. It was terrible. When I got there, I looked very weird to me. They put some kind of stuff in my mouth. It was terrible tasting. I was wondering if it was going to hurt and how many braces I had to wear. Then they said that I couldn't chew gum or eat peanuts, taffy, popcorn, and certain candy bars. They showed me the tools they were going to use. I was getting a little scared because the tools that were going to be used were scary looking. Then I had them on, and I didn't smile for a week. In the meantime, I was getting teased most of the time by my dad. I couldn't eat because my mouth was swelled and it hurt. After that, I went back, and they gave me my headgear. A headgear is something that hooks into your mouth. They were terrible that day, but now they are not so bad.
Anybody that wears braces can sympathize with that. Scott Stanley writes a long story about a very bad day when he was out in a pickup truck with some of his other family members, and he says the skies were getting darker and darker, and it was getting windy. Then it started sprinkling. Then harder, so we decided to start home. I was getting cold. It was pouring down when we got about 10 miles out of town. Then we stopped next to a building, and all the water was running down off the roof into the back of the truck. By that time, me and my sister were shivering cold and soaking wet. Well, they get home, and they had a foam blanket, foam rubber in the back, and blanket, and they hung up the foam rubber, and the end of the bad day was when it stopped raining, the foam rubber was dry, but Zach, our dog, had chewed bits of foam rubber all over the porch. And from that same class, Beth Hall lost the front wheel of her bike and got a terrible swollen lip. Trevor Siebert had 4 teeth pulled, and it felt horrible. Alan Baker had his teeth knocked out when he was 4. He fell off a swing, and it swung back and hit his brother in the back and knocked him in the mouth. Barbara Clock's terrible day started early and ran late, but the line that I liked best was, "When I got to school, the boys threw worms at me." Roger Flowers' bad day ended with 2 bites. He bit on a peppermint and broke a tooth, and then his brother bit him on the arm. Jill Whitler fell out of bed 2 times. Chris Knudsen's day started with stepping on an accident that his dog did and peaked with, "I tried to do a magic trick and messed up," and ended with going to bed and having no pillow. Claudine Cole got her foot caught in the bed springs. Going on to Rose Corgan's North School 5th grade, we have more terrible, horrible, no good, very bad injuries and illnesses. Dee Cruz's dad threw her a football, and when she caught it, it bent her finger back, and it turned out to be broken. Brian Wilson stepped on a nail. John Foreman got sick at 6 Flags. Alan Foster had a high fever, and aspirin didn't help. Kathy Bynes got pushed into a puddle and skinned her elbow. Lynette Conley smashed her finger during the day, and at night she fell out of the top bunk, and she writes, "When I fell, I hit my back on the dresser. I pulled down a flower pot holder and broke the little gold ring that held it up." Tim, let's read all of Keith Bush's worst day.
I'm surprised any of us ever live. One morning when I got out of bed, I slipped on a rug, and it hit my head on the door. And when I poured the milk in my glass at breakfast, I spilled the milk on the floor. When I got in the car to go to school, I shut the door on my homework, and I had to do it over. At recess, I was playing at baseball, and I started to catch the ball, and I missed, and it hit my nose. I had to go to the doctor, and he said that my nose was broken. That seemed like the worst day of my life.
That's a pretty bad one.
Yes.
Here's some highlights of other bad days from that class. Lori Erdman woke up freezing, no covers. Stephanie Gadza, "That day my pen went berserk and I got ink all over." Megan Hunt's dog ate all the toothpaste. Richelle Reese's grandma called during breakfast, and when Richelle got back to her cereal, it was all soggy. Tammy Hatella writes, "I started my bath water. I have to stand on the side of the bathtub to reach the toothpaste, and as I was reaching for it, I fell into the bathtub, clothes and all." Denise Dreyer's brothers got their mother mad, so all of them had to spend the day at hard labor, and Denise had to clean up her room even though she had just cleaned it. We had 2 good days, a refreshing change, I must admit, one from Jeff Miller, and here's Angela Smith's. One day I got up, and I was lucky because I was the first one up. I was the last one who used the toothpaste because I used the last of it. It was also the day we were going to 6 Flags, and the pantsuit I wanted to wear was clean, but my sisters had to wear dresses. We went with some friends, and I got to play every game on the way. When we got to 6 Flags, the first ride we went on to was the Screaming Eagle. My one sister didn't want to go on it, neither did my friends, so my mother and my sister and I went on it. And this last one, Paul Birch, I especially want to read yours, for I'm wondering if Mrs. Corgan or your mom or dad know how bad you feel, and maybe they can help. Tim, can you read this?
Sure. I don't know why, but I would always wake up on the wrong side of the bed. My sisters beat me downstairs, beat me to school. I'm late all the time. I hate the work at school and home, So my terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day is every day.
Are you game to go on, Tim? We still have a great set of terrible horribles from Mason City.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll give it a try.
Well, this class wrote out a lot of quickies as well as longies, and the quickies went like this. A day is a terrible, horrible NGVB day when you wore your pajamas to school. That was Kelly Jo Rakeshaw.
Oh, no.
So why don't we read a bunch of them without the authors' names, and then we'll give the authors that all afterwards, okay? Let's see. Here's how it'll go. A day is a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day when you're late for school and you're riding your bike and you're carrying your lunch and you drop it and run over it.
It's your turn to put the flag up in front of the school and it blows away.
When you didn't get your motorcycle for your birthday.
Cleaning the birdcage and the bird gets away.
When the riding lawnmower quits and you have to use the push mower. Or when I went to school and on the way I got my good pair of pants caught in the chain.
When your best friend doesn't want you to come to her slumber party.
When you're late and you find out your fish had 40 babies and you have to get the baby fish out so that the parents won't eat them.
My mom said we were going to Six Flags in a week, so we waited and waited until it was time for us to go, and my sister got the chicken pox.
When you go swimming, and when you get there, all you've got is your towel.
When you go fishing and forget the tackle box.
When you're playing football, and your brother throws it, and you go to catch it, and you trip and land in the rose bush.
When I was fixing my pancakes, I poured the milk in the pan instead of the butter.
When we went to Six Flags and we got there and a fuse broke, all the cash registers were out. And two final ones from Mike Buck. A day is a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day when you swallow an ice cube. And then a sad one, the day that you have to shoot your dog. And the authors in the order that we read them were Mike McAfee, Gene Bracey, Marvin Price, Kelly Martin, Gina H., Dawn Thomas, Kim Proctor, Kelly Pankey, Rhonda Cargill, Jeff Curry, Chris Dunker, Sheila Power, Angie Cole, and Dewey R. Well, Debbie Williams' day started out well with an A-plus on a test on her worst subject, but it ended up bad when she misspelled a word as a favor for a friend on a get-well card, and then she was blamed for it. And let's read this one, because what we're really missing is the cumulative effect of a horrible day. I had just gotten up, writes Mary Pierce, when the terrible day began. First, I tripped and hit my head on my dresser. When I got my jeans on, I couldn't get my belt. When I finally got dressed, I went in to brush my teeth. First, the toothpaste wouldn't come out. I squeezed hard, and it squirted all over the mirror. Then when I went down the stairs to breakfast, I found a note that said, Mary, I have to go to work early. Eat your breakfast and go to school, Mom. When I poured my milk on my cereal, it went in my lap. Then I went out to get my bike. It had a flat tire. I was late, and I got a tardy slip. And Ray Ashton writes, when I was jumping off my bureau onto my bed, then my stepsister broke my glass toy, and a piece flew onto my bed, and I started jumping on my bed, and then I stepped on a piece of glass, and I had to go to the hospital to get 30 stitches. Ronnie Fuller gave everybody in the family chicken pox, and Harry Seward, by the time he'd cleaned his gerbil cage, fed his dog, and fed his dove, he'd missed the school bus, he was late to P.E., and he had to do double exercises. Tim, I'm reeling, and I know that I'm asking you to read these things right off of people's own handwriting. I think we need to go outside and enjoy the sunshine and get away from these terrible, horrible, very bad days, but we need to say something about writing. So here are some writing ideas. You can use whole days that went wrong and nothing went right, or the terrible ending that ruined a great day.
Or opposite, the good ending that rendered a bad day.
That really made it a good day. Starts out bad and ends up good. Or any story that made a day bad, you can enjoy telling about it afterwards. And I'd love some papers on your thinking, what you think about bad days. Do they always just happen to you? You know, does the meteorite drop out of the heaven onto your head? Or do you sometimes make a day bad? Tim, have you ever given anybody else a bad day?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you. How do you cope with a bad day? K. Can you ever change a bad day into a good one? If something bad happens to me, I usually try to slam something good right smack on top of it as fast as I can. If bad news comes, I sometimes say, come on, everybody, let's all go out to dinner. And it doesn't always work, but sometimes it does. And doing something about it, I find, usually helps. So we'd like to hear from you, not only your very bad days, but maybe what helps you to cope when you're having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Stay tuned for our Halloween special with more monster stories from all of you from Reading Your Writing following this message. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University has presented Reading, Writing, and Radio. Send your writing to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.
Here we go with some monster stories for Halloween. This is by Jenny Trader from Mrs. Lettner's third grade at Riverton Elementary.
I am the monster, and I have green hair and a blue face with six eyes and one big mouth and a pink and purple body. I have six legs and 10 toes on each foot. One day I saw a whole family in the woods having a picnic, and I ran over and gobbled them up, and I gobbled up the food. The other people ran, but I caught them and ate them, and one little boy did not get ate. I caught him, but I did not eat him because he said he would take me home and turn me nice. I went home with him, and he did turn me nice. I did not eat anybody, and everybody liked me because I was nice. I thanked that boy because he was so nice, and I always wanted to be nice, and that boy just turned me nice.
So we ended up with a nice monster. Nancy Fouts of Mrs. Cowdery's sixth grade at Thayer School says, on the school day of September 13th, a monster was created. He's made of paper bag, milkweeds, flowers, weeds, corn, and Kleenexes, and his name is Herbie. I think he's pretty neat for only 15 minutes of creating. He's stuffed with milkweeds, a weed for a tail, corn for his ears, flowers for his eyes, corn hair for his beard, weeds for his hair. I think he liked us putting him together, because I did. And from that class, we had many papers about this creature. Two of them called them Creatures from the Plant Lagoon, Mike Garbett and Colette Starks. And we had some from the point of view of the plant monster, and one he came from the weed planet, and another was the Adventures of the Plant Man. Here is from Molly Harris in Mrs. Robinson's fifth grade at North School, Taylorville.
I am short and fat and have one eye in the center of my head. The main thing is I'm purple. Strange, isn't it? I have real, real big teeth. But nobody is scared of me. I live in a small cave. I try hard to make them scared of me. Once I even put a pack of matches in my mouth and lit them. I thought it would look like I was breathing fire. But instead, I burnt a hole in my mouth. Sometimes the kids from the town will come up to the cave. They are eating suckers, and I break the sticks on the suckers. But they just pull out another one out of their pockets. Then I start yelling, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, and so on.
Lisa Roberts writes from Mrs. Stone's fourth grade at Riverton Elementary. Once upon a time, a two-eyed, vampire-teethed, green-horned, bearded monster roamed around Riverton. He was very friendly until one day some teenagers were messing around in his cave and messed up everything. Then he turned against everyone because of those teenagers. He went up and started to tear down the high school and then the rest of the town, and everybody left town. And then the monster had peace and quiet. I'd say the moral of that is watch out for those dreadful teenagers, huh, Tim?
People persecute teenagers too much.
Says Tim, who is now a teenager.
That's right.
Eric Oller is in Mrs. Lanzati's fifth grade at St. Mary's School, Taylorville. One sunny day I was walking down Washington Street. A manhole cover was being lifted up from the bottom. Out came a brown-winged, yellow-armed, fire-breathing, black-eared, blue-tailed, orange and purple creature. I ran with all my might, but it shot a flame anyway and got me in the back. I rolled on the grass and put it out. It chased me on all eight jets. And the story continues. And from that same class, it was the night before Christmas, writes Marianne Kirby Everything in Kids Land was sparkling white, and everyone was happy and gay. That is, was. At the same time, just in the next valley was the two-headed snake monster. He was the terror of Kids Land, and each night the children lay in their beds, not moving for fear that the snake monster would get them. So those are two good beginnings of monster stories from that school. Here is a really chilling story by Jim Chase, who is in Mrs. Finale's sixth grade at Riverton Middle School.
I was sitting in the rocking chair and I glanced out the window. I saw no car in the driveway and remembered my mother had left to go out of town for a few days. I got bored that night in the living room, so I went outside to sit on the porch, and I saw a piece of paper sitting in the yard. I picked it up to see what it was, and it said, "Sally, this is your father speaking. I came to hunt you and your mother and you." But then I remembered Daddy was dead. He died in a car wreck. Mother and I survived, but Daddy didn't. "But you are dead." "Not anymore." I ran in the house, and there he was in the rocking chair. It was creaking, and then I ran upstairs in my room, and there he was in my chair. Then I ran downstairs again, and there he was. But then, just as I ran away, the telephone rang. I picked it up, and the man on the phone says, "Your mother was killed, was hit by a car, and you are next." Ha, 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 ha.
Okay, let's hear our maniacal laugh, because I think that's... All right.
Monsters, monsters, monsters!